Before I share some thoughts this morning on this matter of passing on our faith, I would just want to say that we are at different kind of, some have families, so much what I say would be applicable to a family. Those who are single, you have relatives, you have ministries, you have and I understand that, but it's been kind of a growing passion of mine to pass on the faith to the next generation. And so I just like to ask God to use his word and use the thoughts this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have brought my brothers and sisters here to salvation, and to each one that has responded to you. And Lord, it's such an important responsibility, not only to minister those around us and to reach out with the gospel, but to see that we ourselves are passing faith down to generations after us. So I ask your guidance and the direction of your Holy Spirit as I would trust to share that which is helpful. In Jesus' name, amen. As I was praying, we all have responsibility to get the gospel out, to share with our neighborhoods, to share with co-workers, whoever, but I think there's a special need to somehow God using us to pass a generation to the next generation to know the Lord and not depart. My grandmother, who came from Sweden as a teenager, I never met her. She met one grandchild before she went home with the Lord. But I have understood that she prayed that every grandchild that would be born would come to Christ. And as far as I know, that prayer was answered. And so there's two things that have impressed me from Scripture to have a heart for the generations after us. And one is in Isaiah 30, and I just refer to it. We've been reading recently concerning Hezekiah, the king of Judah, and he did a lot of good things, did righteous things. He came to the point where God said, okay, it's time for you to die now. And if you remember, he turned his head to the wall and cried and didn't want to die yet. I've learned one lesson from him. When God says it's time to die, die. He knows what's right for us. God extended his life 15 years. During that time, Manasseh, his son, was born and did so much wickedness in the nation. But something else, toward the end of his life, or somewhere along the line, they had heard about in Babylon about his sickness and that God had healed him. And they came from Babylon, some representatives of the nation there, and he showed them all of his riches and all of the things that probably should not have been shown that the Lord had blessed him with. Isaiah came to him and said, what have you done? Well, I showed him everything. Well, the word of the Lord is, all of these things are going to be carried to Babylon in the captivity. And then he said, and what's more, of your sons are going to make him eunuchs as they carry him away to Babylon. Now, what has triggered my thinking on that is, I know pretty much what the verse says. He said, good is a word that you've spoken unto me, because it will not happen in my day. And I just think that, man, he didn't care about his generations after him. It shouldn't be that way. That's what I guess I would say on that. The other thing that really motivates me is in the second chapter of Judges in verse 10. It says that time came for Joshua to die, and Joshua and the elders that overlived him, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. In that 10th verse, it said, there arose another generation after them that knew not the Lord, neither the things that the Lord had done. Now, they've just come through all these years of fighting to reclaim the land by the Lord's help and the Lord's guidance, and now they're setting down their lives in the land, and a generation grew up that didn't know the Lord. I think that's so tragic. This reminds me that Moses had told them, when you get the land and you settle down and you've eaten and are full, then watch out that you don't forget the Lord, that you start living in ease. And that's exactly what happened, and the wrath of the Lord was against them. So we have the passage here in Psalm 78, the importance of passing on the generation to tell what the Lord has done, to show what the Lord has done, to remind their children, that they would tell their children and their children after them. So I want to just share a few things that's probably not in the right order, that have occurred to me that are important. And I welcome things God shows you how to do things in order to pass off the faith to others. First of all, the call to live a life that is exemplary before the Lord, that He can bless and use. And I just want to refer to the law that was given. It's in Exodus 20, where the Lord had given him what we know as the Ten Commandments. But I want to share something from that. It says, thou shalt not bow down to him. It said, thou shalt not make any image of God or anything to worship it. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to him nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting iniquity unto the fathers and the children unto the third and fourth generation, them that hate me. But I want you to know verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. There's a key to being able to pass the faith on down. Live a life of loving the Lord and serving Him. He said, I will show mercy to thousands of generations like that. I have found in working with people that has been very important to where there's been generational sin, to bring that to Jesus, to help them renounce it, be cleansed of it, and be free of it for generations. I've done it, things that I've known in my own generation. My grandpa and my dad's dad was an Odd Fellow, and it's one of those secret organizations, and I don't know who would want to be called Odd Fellow. But anyway, I have things like that that I know have been in the family line. And I guess I would mention, too, that in my mom's side, I felt that there was a spirit of pride. Both her parents came from Sweden, and they were poor. They lived in Nebraska, and they knew them as Oatmeal Johnsons because they were pretty poor. But I knew, I didn't feel my mom had a lot of that pride, but a lot of my uncles I did. They broke out of this thing of poverty, I guess. And I'm sure it affected them to be called Oatmeal Johnsons. But I have come before the Lord and renounced any way that is a bondage that's been passed down to generations. So I just would urge, if you know there's things in your family line that have been contrary to the Lord. You don't want that passing down the line. It interferes with passing on the faith. That's what I guess I want to share with you. Then I should say, first of all, too, based on just the example of my grandmother that I never met. She only met one grandchild. She had a lot of grandchildren that did accept the Lord. Pray for the next generations. Have a heart for that. And that, that God answers prayer of people that are not yet born, too. So that'd be very, very important. And when children are yet in the home, it's so important. In Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about to stay in the Word and have the Word in your heart and then pass them on to your children, talk about them, make the Word so important in their lives, and very, very important. I found it's very, very important to pray for your children every day. I think I've told our people here, most that you be a place for a while to hear most everything. Anyway, there was a point early on, we had six children. Monday I'd pray for one, on Tuesday I'd pray for the other one, and so forth. And I remember the day the Lord said, they need prayer every day. And so I changed the course of that. Be sure and point them to the Lord and pray for them. Then comes a day that that they leave and they cleave. over the years, you always, a father brings their daughter and commits him to the leave, cleave. I've learned maybe I should have mothers do that too, because sometimes they just want to hang on. And you just have to realize that now you're letting your children go out into their own lives. I've taken a new role. When they're in your home, you do all you can to keep them walking with the Lord. And so what God's impressed me with is this matter of really with the guidance of Jesus' prayer in John 17. He tells the Father, I have kept them while they were with me, but now I'm going home. And he said, except the son of perdition, that he didn't, I couldn't keep him. The devil had him, Judas, of course. But so then he asks the Father, now keep them. And what has occurred to me, if you have children that are out, Paul said, I am persuaded that whatever I commit to God, he is able to keep. So daily, we commit our children and their families into God's hand for his keeping. Some of the things that Jesus prayed, keep them one. You know, there's such a need. The old thief, the old wicked one, he tries to break families up and get them against each other. Pray that God will keep them one. Pray that he'll keep them from the evil. We walk in a world, a dangerous world spiritually, and we need to ask him to do that. And then Jesus said, sanctify them truth. Sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ask God to keep them growing. Keep them in the word. Keep them following him. So it's kind of a different time of life than when they're in your home. But you still are bringing them to the Lord for his keeping power. And then in this new phase of not being in the same kind of relationship when they're in your home, I think parents really need to release their children when they grow up and they marry. And one thing that I've chosen to do is to do a weekly note email to the family. And in that, remind them of special things going on, need prayers, birthdays, anniversaries, and that sort of thing. And I try to cautiously remind them, drip the word of God for something that I think would be important that they would be reminded of. In our greeting them every birthday, God's led me to put Psalm 84:11 on their birthday card. The last part of Psalm 84:11 says, God will withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. It's just a desire to have them want to God's good things. They've got to walk with him. As we started having grandchildren, I received Christ at the age of 9, and so I gave them a Bible when they were 9 years old with some kind of note concerning how I had received Christ. And then we quit having grandchildren. Now we got great-grandchildren. So, and I've told some of you this before, but we have 3 great-grandchildren. One is due in July, and who knows when there'll be more. Sometime back, I saw a good deal on Bibles at Christian Book Club, whatever it is. So I ordered 32 Bibles. And I've designed an insert to be put in them, basically saying, I received Jesus as my Savior when I was 9 years old, and my prayer for you is that you will receive Jesus as your Savior so I can meet you someday in heaven. And then basically told them how to pray the sinner's prayer. I've got 2 granddaughters that are willing to take up the job of getting that out when the time comes. And looking back, God led us to have for 20 years what we called Camp Grandma, a time of bringing all the grandchildren together at a time of challenging them to live for the Lord and so forth. I can tell you that we still hear from grandchildren how they loved Camp Grandma, but the more than that, even the sharing a word with them was the fact of they love cousin time. Do what you can to interact cousins with each other that turns into a very, very positive thing. Another thing that occurred to me is the matter of memorials. As they came across the river Jordan to get into the land, Moses told them, now he had 12 men pick up a big rock out of the middle of Jordan River and pile them up. I don't know if they made it into a memorial or whatever, but what he says, in time to come, when your children ask, what is that pile of rocks all about? Then you can tell them how God opened the river and we walked around across and on dry ground. I know I have one special event in our family life that God spared us, and we really have not been able to do anything with it other than we've got a newspaper that has the pictures, but I'm thinking we need to have a time of remembrance how God spared our 6 children and ourselves that night in the storm. There may be something you can do that'll cause you down the generations to say, what's that all about? And they can hear about the Lord. I also am very concerned for our grandchildren. We really designed something we were doing and praying in the spiritual battle to, and the steps really are based on what James said, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil and he'll flee from you, to daily choose to accept what God plans for your day. Daily refuse what Satan plans for your day. There is God plans, Satan plans, he studies you, obviously, and then put on the whole armor of God. And then choose to abide in God's secret place under his shadow, as wonderful promises in Psalm 91. Anyway, we certainly pass that on to our grandchildren, and it's a blessing to me. We recently, one of our granddaughters graduated from Siloam Springs, the college there, and we were in her apartment, and she had it stuck up on the wall. I've been a couple others and watched them where they put that. Choose to pass certain things on like that. I know that our families deal with a thief that's trying to steal. It's such a reminder to me when you settle down like they did after conquering the land, they could relax. I guess it was relax and enjoy the land. But they needed to heed what Moses said. Don't forget the Lord. And there arose a generation after them that knew not the Lord, neither the things that the Lord had done, and they became wicked. So just a reminder, some of the things I just wanted to remind you that we're trying to do, I have a passion to pass on the, you can't make them, they're under God's care now, but pray for them, pray for the generations to come. I don't want to be like Hezekiah. Focusing on your own life doesn't really matter what happens to my children and grandchildren. That's not of God. So I'd like to just have a word of prayer. Father, I know that some of this just doesn't fit everybody, but it's so important. God, give us a heart to see the generations carry on knowing you and loving you and passing it on to their children so that they will pass it on to their children. Father, we know that you're a keeper. You know how to keep. And so I pray, God, you just use this in the way you want to use it in different lives, in different families, in different situations to consider, so that those after us don't depart. Thank you, Father, for your heart for our generations to be kept for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning, I'd like it just a chorus. It's 519, Keep Me True. Could we stand? And I'd say, I welcome what God shows you to help keep your generations and your children after you and others. If you have ministry or passing on the faith, we need to share with each other so the generations to follow will follow the Lord. Let's sing Keep Me True.
Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that must be run, there's a victory to be won. Every hour by thy power, keep me true.
Thank you, Lord, for your loving us. Thank you for each one that's present here. And Lord, if there's anyone here that has not yet put their faith in Jesus Christ and they'd like some help with that, just help them to see one of us at the leaders here. We'd be happy to pray with them. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.